Mr. President, thank you for this exclusive interview with Press TV. I'd like to start, if I may, with the latest nuclear news, if you will. An Iranian letter being sent already to the EU foreign policy chief. And a lot of headlines generated around that, about the beginning of a new round of negotiations with P5 plus one. I'd like to hear your explanation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
In the name of God, the Merciful, the Compassionate. Well, let me start with felicitations on the birth anniversary of Imam Mahdi. I congratulate all humanities, all people in the world, because it's the climax of mankind's inspiration, the fulfillment of the rule of the Promised One. Mankind sees all its goals and aspirations and their fulfillment at a time when justice will prevail all over the world, kindness will prevail, antagonism will go away. Therefore, the Promised One tomorrow is the Promised One of all nations, the one that is being awaited by all world nations. They're all waiting for that sweet incident to happen, to see mankind reach the peak of its perfection. Well, that was a good question that you just asked. We know the nuclear story. You have been following that. Well, a few months ago, there was the issue of fuel swap. We were supposed to do this fuel swap in order to move toward interaction so that we could remove pessimism on both sides and bring in interaction instead of confrontation. Well, several things went up. They mixed it with some other issues. Some problems occurred, and that didn't happen the way it should be. But we're always prepared for the swap. Mr. Obama then asked the Brazilian president and Turkish official to come and sit down and talk with Iran in order to actually pave the way for interaction. We also wanted the same thing. They came and we had negotiations with them in Tehran, and the result was the Tehran Declaration. The Tehran Declaration has a logical framework. It is legal and just, both for friendship and cooperation and for fuel swap. And it's also crystal clear. But unfortunately, some didn't like that. They don't like to see this happen. The U.S. administration became the pioneer. The U.K. also fanned it up. Some other people also, other countries also help them instead of giving a good response to this positive act. It was a stride that Iran took. It was prepared to send out its material and to sign contracts with those who had several times unilaterally violated the terms of the contract. Still, Iran said, okay, very well, we are ready to do that, with the hope that maybe the conditions will be ready for interaction. Well, they came and issued a resolution. The resolution is really bad. Well, when I say bad, it doesn't mean it's effective. The nature, it is in essence something bad. When they have nothing logical to do, they resort to weapons and resolutions and levers. World issues should be solved through logic and negotiations. Well, they issued the resolution at a time when the Zionist regime attacked that aid flotilla carrying humanitarian aid in international waters. They showed no reaction toward that, but regarding Iran, that was ready and stepped forward and stretched a hand for cooperation, they issued the resolution against Iran. We said then that this is not the right thing to do. It's not effective, though, but still for you to learn a lesson how to deal with us, we will wait until the half of the month of Ramadan. And then some of them called us, contacted us, and said, okay, fine, we will come and negotiate after that month of Ramadan. And then it's interesting that the political official of the European Union for 3-4 months. They were in contact with Mr. Jalali for talks, but she never replied, and she would never put forward any proposal, and she just refrained from talking as if they were not prepared. But the day after resolution was issued, she immediately interviewed and said that we are ready for negotiations. Well, Mr. Jalali also replied her and said that we are also ready for talks, but negotiations since then will start when I said that in the months of Ramadan.
On that, where you talked about the sanctions and the effects or lack thereof, but the question is, the Europeans, so many headlines, media headlines out there, that simply because of these sanctions, the fourth round of UN Security Council sanctions that were coming, and Iran knew they were coming, Iran came around and said, all right, let's agree to the deal with Turkey and Brazil. And because of these sanctions that the European Union is supposed to come up with, the unilateral sanctions, if you will, again, because of those sanctions, Iran is sending this letter.
Well, no, that's not true. We said before that this logic to think that the issue resolution that will force us for talks, this is a failed policy. Since the outset, we have always talked. We never stopped talks and negotiations. Never. If it ever stopped, it was on what they did. When they didn't want to do anything logical, to say anything logical, then they wanted to do something illegal, then they would have stopped the talks. This time, too, I said immediately after the resolution, Ms. Ashton, who never came forward for talks for 3 months, she sent a letter and said, we are ready for talks. And Jalali said, we are also ready for talks. This is nothing new. We have always been ready for talks. But I announced that because they did the wrong thing, so we'll postpone it for 2 months. Two months means in early September where we'll be ready for talks. And that's what I'm saying again. It has nothing to do with resolution. Before the resolution also, we would have talked with them, and we're still ready for talks. But the framework of the talks is what matters. On what basis will we talk? The basis should be respect and justice, and the framework within the proposed package that we have already offered them. There are international issues and shared preoccupations in the world. It's quite clear. I think that these, they know themselves that to be realistic, they cannot push Iran back. And they want through their whims and through spreading some news, try to say that Iran has retreated one step. And then they want to become happy and, start jubilating and spread the news. They're mistaken. We don't think anybody needs to retreat. Everyone can move forward, but let's move toward justice. Let's move toward respect and friendship. Then everyone will benefit. Nobody will lose.
Now, you said that the talks will take place. Are you ready to start the talks again in September? Now, you just said that as long as it's based on equality and equity. First part of the question, do you believe that that is possible? And the second part of the question is that before you had said that the nuclear file is closed, if they want, P5 plus one, want to discuss that issue, how open is Iran to that subject?
Well, we said that with P5 plus one countries, we are ready for talks since early September, but we have some conditions for that. One of them is others should also take part in those talks. And why should P5 plus 1 only talk to us? This 5 plus 1 group, where did it start? Based on what law? If they have 5 security members, okay, what's Germany doing there then? We are for presence of Germany, but for the same reason Germany is there and the other 5 are there, some other members should be also added. Okay, we will be ready for talks about global issues. The second condition was that regarding a series of subjects, they should clarify their position. What's their stance regarding atomic bombs of the Zionist regime? They should say, are they for it or against it? That said, we don't want anything more. They should say they are either for it or against it. Regarding the goal for the talks, they should also announce that. Are they going after friendship or antagonism or enmity? Nothing wrong with that. They should simply say what they are going after in their talks. Regarding the MPT and the corrections and amendments, they should also say what their opinions are. There were some MPT review conference, there were some amendments and corrections. They should also comment on that. Do they oppose it or approve it, or do they approve it partly or oppose it partly or all of it? And also they should announce that in talks, do they want to use logic and justice and follow it, or they want to resort to force? Anytime they cannot do anything, do they want to resort to resolutions again or not? Or they follow logic? Their response will clarify the air prevailing the talks. Whatever they say doesn't make any difference to us. We prefer to see constructive responses, but even if they're not constructive, we will also regulate the talks on the same basis. But regarding the nuclear issue, you know, there is nothing called Iran's nuclear dossier. This is what they have created themselves based on law. That's what we are doing. We have the most cooperation with the IAEA. To date, we have gone even beyond what we require based on law. As far as the IAEA has reported all our nuclear reports, which is against the law, whatever we report the IAEA, the day after it's printed in U.S. print media, they need to preserve the secret. But we have not made any objection to this. Of course, we have the right, preserve the right for objection and protest. So we have gone beyond our way in cooperation with the IAEA. All our nuclear store reports are out there in the newspapers. There is nowhere else like Iran. We have act based on law and will continue doing the same. Their claims for us are not so important. Whatever they say against the law, they won't be effective. But we will have talks regarding the resolution of international issues, regarding the differences that we have, and regarding the shared preoccupations and problems. No problem, we'll talk about them. We have always talked about these. I'm even ready to talk to Mr. Bush. Mr. Bush, who nobody was ready to hold negotiations with. Last year, I said, I'm ready to have talks with Mr. Obama. We have a clear logic, and we announce it everywhere. I think they themselves look at the talks as a lever for domination. We don't look at it like that. We think it's for understanding. It's for deepening of friendship. It's for peace. Talks are not for enmity.
Concept that you often talk about, change of power politics or dynamics in the world. Now, with Turkey and Brazil trying to assert themselves in the international arena, do you see this change perhaps materializing within the foreseeable future? And where do you see Iran's position in all of this?
Well, it's clear that political equations in the world are undergoing change rapidly. Of course, these equations are also a function of cultural equations. Thoughts and cultures are changing in the world quickly. People's outlook is not based on race or national. They are globalized now. People's inclination and tendencies, they tend toward studying justice. Everybody is after justice. They don't want discriminatory approaches. They are after respect now. They are going after enjoying equal rights. These means changes in your thoughts, in your mindset, and these will naturally lead to political developments and changes. Political changes are a function of changes in your thought and mindset and in your culture. Well, sometimes there were two blocks. It was the Soviet Union and the U.S. It was the East and the West. Now, the whole world was under domination. World people were not so informed. They didn't have interaction that much. The level of their expectation was low. It's changed now. One of these blocks, does not exist. There's no more. There is no more Soviet Union. It just disappeared. Another bloc thought that it could replace that, but without knowing that mentalities have changed and the world wouldn't accept that. We think the second bloc also is going to disappear, and it's collapsing. You can see everywhere they're facing a deadlock. In theory, they have faced a deadlock. The theory of the end of time, where is it? It's a dead end. In economy, they have faced a deadlock. In management, security management, they have faced a dead end. They're also collapsing. And so naturally, others will emerge. We think that these others mean everybody, means everybody else. Some people are maybe stepping a bit further forward, like Brazil, Turkey, and others in Iran, but we think everyone else will be emerging, and everyone should be there. We think that in the future management of the world, everyone must partake actively on the basis of justice and respect. No one should have an upper hand compared to others. No one should feel superior to others. Everyone should be equal. Just relations must be there based on respect. Now, in that development and change in your mindset that's happening in the world, some are forerunners, including Iran. It's clear that Iran, given its independence, real independence that it gained, and it withstood both East and West. So it got itself out of their circle. They were being affected. So it managed to affect the international community itself, and this is the impact in the culture and the mind that's still going on. And the status of Iran in terms of usual political equations is the same status as a just position with respect. But what matters to Iran and what's happening is that Iran has won people's hearts. Iran's relation with other peoples is the relation of hearts and of one of love and affection. Of course, we want all this kind of relation to be established between everyone. We want to see all relations are based on love and kindness. Naturally, this is a status that cannot be evaluated with these political equations.
Brazil, they said no to the fourth round of UN Security Council sanctions against Iran, but perhaps surprisingly to many, Russia and China did not say no. Especially, I'd like to have your opinion on the Russian position and follow up when it comes to comments President Medvedev talking about Iran reaching the capability of making a nuclear bomb, which is kind of close to the comments that we're hearing from Washington. Would Iran reconsider its relations with Russia in the face of such growing comments coming from Moscow?
Well, in the previous resolutions, Russia also voted positively. This is nothing new. In the past, it had done the same thing. But in Russia, different things are being said. What the president says is in violation of the interests of Russia. This is a kind of being in harmony with the U.S. Before this, Russia would take part in resolutions, and they said the same thing. They said that we were regulated in a way so that you won't face any serious problems. They don't want to see those problems, they said. They said, we just want to solve the problems through negotiations. But recently, some of the comments of the Russian president, they're actually showing the green light to the U.S. for pressuring Iran or other such things. As a matter of fact, it's actually selling the interests of the Russians to Americans. This is new, but before it harms us, it will harm Russia. It won't harm us because these four resolutions, even if there are three, they're multiplied by thousands, say we have the 4,000th resolution against Iran, this has changed into a joke now. It doesn't mean we are favoring it, but they issue resolutions and they will just go ineffective. See what has happened in the world is, you see, in the first question you also wanted to ask this. There is a new current that's emerging in the world, and another current is just leaving the stage. The ones who came to power and dominated the world with the Second World War, their literature, their economy, their culture was dominated in the world, those have come to the end of the way. Their turn is over. Their time is out. They need to get up and go. And they're leaving the stage. A new current is emerging, and this new current is not that of domination and hegemony and lying and deception and fabrication. It's a new, it's a humanitarian way, it's a cultural one. And Iran is at the very heart of this new wave. We should say that peoples are coming and colonialists are leaving. Now, with two or three resolutions, the equations won't change. These equations are global, and things won't change anything. It's like as if there is a great river flowing thousands of cubic meters of water flowing there with one truck load of dirt or garbage. You empty it there into this river, in this great current of this river. Well, anyone who sees it, they will just laugh at this. They will just make fun of it. They say, come on, with one truckload of the garbage, you want to stop the flow of this great river? Today, Iran has translated into the people's demands in the world. We just express the demands of other people. It makes no difference. We're all the same people. Well, it's respect and justice. But Iran is saying, Iran is uttering a fact. Imagine a truckload of garbage is emptied at the door of Iranians, but the fact is still there. It doesn't change.
I'm sorry, but just that begs the question. You just said four sanctions resolutions or 4,000 sanctions resolutions. So those people sitting out there in the West saying, hey, look, this is the Iranian president saying sanctions do not work because he's standing firm. How about war? Do you see the drums of war perhaps beating louder and louder, despite all the rhetoric on both sides? The Americans saying, well, perhaps the war is coming. Iranians saying, well, you can't. Do you see perhaps drums of war really beating?
No. Look, they expect us to say that the sanctions will be effective. Maybe that's what they expect. Maybe they think as soon as they say of sanctions, the Iranians will go and die. In their estimation of their own capabilities, they are making a mistake. They think that all world nations are in need of them, and world nations cannot live without them. And as soon as they cut off their ties with them, then their breathing apparatus will stop functioning. That's the mistake they're making. Maybe 60 years ago, some would accept this. Maybe 30 years ago, some would accept it as well. But it's not like that now, especially when it comes to Iran. It's not a small 2 million people. They can't do this even to a small country, let alone Iran. They don't know nothing about geography, about history, about politics. Iran, it's 1,700,000 square meters with 14, 15 countries. We have neighboring countries. We have 180. With 180 countries, we have very good relations. All the transit routes between East and West pass through Iran. Iran is an economic power. It's a cultural power, and it's also a big political power. It's a great nation, 75 million people. That's the population of Iran, and the people are their IQ is much higher than that of the world. Iran is a place. Iran has always carried the flag of culture and civilization. They're actually sanctioning themselves. The U.S. administration, they have not had any economic relations with us for 30 years. They're upset. They want also to do the same thing to Europeans and deprive them. If Europeans stop selling us goods, what will happen? What will really happen? So far, they haven't been selling us so vital items like equipment or something that we would solve some serious problems. That was not like that. We have produced them ourselves. For the past 10, 15 years for oil investments, they have been playing games with us since Mr. Clinton imposed sanctions. They had this law that more than $20 million of goods cannot come to Iran. They will be banned. They just played games with us. This year we decided to make investments ourselves. In 1 year, to the tune of the past 30 years, we have made investments. We're making investments. So this language and literature of sanctions is for people who have failed, for weak people. If we say sanctions won't work, it doesn't mean that it will be leading into a war. I said even 4,000 resolutions are issued. They issued three resolutions and they were stuck in it. To run away from that, they issued a fourth one. In order to get away with this, they will issue the fifth one. Well, those three didn't work. The fourth one will not work either. So what are they going to do next? Do they want to go back to the literature of Mr. Bush and adopt that? That means the U.S. president wants to follow in the footsteps of Bush? Well, Bush's policies failed. They want to experience it again? Okay, go ahead. It's failed. Do they want to come here over and have talks? Well, through resolutions, they want to get the bargaining chip or concession from us. The Iranians will not give concessions through because of a resolution. That's not true. Let's imagine they issue 100 resolutions. Then all the economic connections, if they sever all their economic relations with us, what will happen to that cultural wave that is coming and that will sweep them away? Will they be able to stop that? They won't. They have only one way forward, and that is that they need to bring themselves to get on board with this current, and they need to stand alongside the people, by the people, instead of confronting them, and to accept justice. When we say on what basis we're going to have talks, we just after this. If you want to have enmity, well, they should say we'll have talks, but you should know there won't be anything in it for you. But if you were after friendship, okay, then you will be accompanying the people, and whatever profits people reap, you will also reap that profit. Therefore, they want to fill the atmosphere in the world with a word war. Special Americans are so interested in this. I mean, the lobby behind the curtains, the Zionists, they always are interested to fill this literature of fighting and war. They're so keen on that. Of course, some of them wish when they have in their dreams at night, they want to see that Iran is no more on the world map. This is a wish. This is a dream they have. And no problem, they can have this dream. But this is not a concrete fact. Iran is a fact, and it's emerging. It's getting bigger. It's growing. They can't stop a nation's growth and that Iranian people's growth. This means the manifestation of growth of other nations. They talk about war, and they think by saying that some people will be frightened. Of course, I should tell you, they are well coordinated with some individuals here. I'll talk about in the future. Some of them who think, people who think like them, they have coordinated with them that we will talk about war, you will talk about wars from inside Iran, and we'll make this ballyhoo so that we can frighten Iranian people. This is a mistake, I'm telling you. This is a mistake. The Iranian people are not afraid of nothing. You cannot do anything. You just cry out and shout. Okay, well, we're not happy. We've said since day one that, okay, we're after logic and talks. Let's have talks. But if you want to go to the other, take another route, well, you should, okay, tread on that path and so that you tire yourself out.
It doesn't matter if it's four resolutions against Iran or 4,000. Can you honestly say that the sanctions have not had any effect on Iran? It's not adding any pressure to Iran or the Iranian people. Even recently, Iranian airplanes landing in Europe could not get refuel. Please explain that, what you mean is having no effect whatsoever on Iran.
Well, yes, it has effects, substantial effects, and the effect is that the rate of progress of Iranians will be multiplied. Another effect is that they will be deprived. Let me ask you a question. Suppose an Iranian airplane, let's imagine, this has never happened, let's imagine that an Iranian airplane goes to a European country and is not given fuel. And let's say Iranians are not given European visas. What will happen? Who will be harmed? Who will be the loser? Iranians go to Europe and spend money there. They don't bring money back. They take money with them to Europe. Iranians take money with them. So they cut it off. Who will lose? No. The world does not mean Europe. It's not confined to Europe only. The world is much vaster than Europe and America. Right now, see how many messages we have received that we have nothing to do with all these. You don't worry that whatever goods you want will be given to them to you, and even at lower prices. And we said that we're not concerned at all. Yes, the day before yesterday, I said that in Iran, you place sanctions on gasoline. They don't know, they don't understand what they are saying, what they are doing. A country that is a producer of oil, then you threaten that country with limitations on gasoline? Is this a threat, really? Some of these politicians who think they are great politicians talk about this. We're producing 4 million barrels of oil a day. We have tens of refineries. With a little change in our production line, we can produce 20 million liters of gasoline. We don't do it now because we're producing something else, and that's a bit more expensive than gasoline, a little bit. Okay, you close that? No problem, we'll shift it to that. If we were a country without oil, without refineries, with 100 years of background in oil industry and universities and scientists and technology, then he would say, we wouldn't give you a gasoline. Then we'd say, oh God, they wouldn't give us gasoline. We should die. We are producer of oil. See, they don't know. They don't just realize this. They have this closed, confined, they have confined themselves to a closed room or space. The walls are maps of the world, but they think that they are seeing the whole world. Iran, of course you should know that we don't welcome these measures. You know? We tell them that they're not doing the right thing. Why don't they talk? Why not cooperate? Why confront?
Out there in the West, led by the U.S. with cooperation of certain other countries against Iran or its allies in the region. I'm wondering if you could expand on that a bit for our audience.
Well, we have exact information that Americans have written a scenario. There is a psychological war they want to wage against Iran. With the comments that is made by Russian president is actually a kind of introduction and advertisement for that scenario. They want to extensively enter, and some of these individuals that they have kidnapped and taken to the U.S., they want to, you know, extract some words out of their mouths. You know, it's a perfect, it's a complete scenario in their own opinion. They want to just start this heavy propaganda war. This person talks, that person says this and that in a row. And then they want to ask some of these regional countries to attack some of the regional countries in order to pressure us. This is the generality of the scenario. With some of those countries in our region, they have done some coordination. Even some individuals inside our country, they have coordinated things. This has just started. I mean, the comments of the Russian president who said that Iran is getting close to that kind of technology. This is just the beginning of this scenario. We think that this scenario, the spectators will be only Americans and their allies. Nobody will pay to get the ticket to go to the movie theater to watch this movie. And it will have no effect.
Plan to this, because you're saying, yes, there is first propaganda, but then there is potentiality for wars against perhaps a couple of countries in the region. Does Iran have a counter plan in case that plan materializes, in case a couple of countries are perhaps attacked in the region?
Well, yes. They are waging the propaganda against us. There is heavy propaganda waged against Iran and some regional countries. They want to invade them, but the propaganda is waged against us. They can't do those things to us. You see, they want to create this atmosphere and say, look, this is a great danger. We are so determined, and this and that. This is only propaganda battle, and they are aware of that themselves. Because the way for confrontation with Iran, it's out of the question. They just realize they like this. They want to have this dream of seeing Iran will vanish, but this will not happen. Iran is there, and Iran does not mean Ahmadinejad. They're mistaken. They say we will remove Ahmadinejad, and that's it. No, that's not true. There are 75 million people living. They are brave. They are well informed. And they're all united. They think Iranian people are divided. They say these things, and they believe in what they say. They don't come to our streets and see what's happening. The people of Iran are one people, and they are united. They're all friends. There's an election, and they vote to different people. It doesn't bring enmity among members of Iranian society. It's one family. You think Iran is also, we have multi-party system here. Some of them are Democrats, some of them are Republicans, and they start fighting each other. That's not the case. And here, we don't have that kind of thing. We're all together.
Let me ask you this, because this is really important. The scenario of perhaps Israel or U.S. attacking, not Iran directly, but one country in the region, perhaps an ally to Iran, like Syria, say, or Lebanon, or elsewhere. Do you see an Iranian intervention in favor of any of these countries, perhaps against either Israel or U.S., in case that attack materializes?
Well, this is not a probability. They have decided to do that. I'm informing you. They have made a decision until the next 3 months to wage an attack against two regional countries, to perform operations against them, minimum two countries. And it's clear that all these games are aimed at saving the Zionist regime. All these pressures, the nuclear story, it just follow two objectives. One of them, to stop the progress of Iranian people. They want to check our development. They don't want to see that. They lie, they say. They are against bombs. That's why I said, why didn't you announce what you feel about the atomic bombs at the hands of Zionist regime? They won't announce it. Why don't they announce it? They're not against that. Under pretext of nuclear story, they want to hinder our progress in medicine and mathematics and engineering and aviation and biotechnology and nanotechnology. We're just moving forward, and this is something humane development. They want us to be always in need of them. They don't want anybody out of their circle. They shouldn't make progress. This is the logic of force. That's why they don't want us to progress. The second reason is they want to save the Zionist regime. The Zionist regime itself thinks that through waging a new war it can be saved, because everywhere they're facing a dead end. Who they want to live with in our region? With what country do they want to work and interact with? Which people? All roads are closed. Nobody is ready for that. And those who are interacting, they're doing it secretly. So it means that it does not have general legitimacy. It's raison d'etre is also being questioned. For 60 years, through military force, they were domineering. They said that it's inconquerable. Whatever decision they make, they said that they would do it. They went and attacked Lebanon. They failed. They attacked Gaza, they failed. Now they want to make up for this. They want to put this political pressure on us so that we cannot help them, so that they can hit them and the Zionist regime will be revived.
In case that happens?
Now, just allow me to make my statement. Oh, there is no need for that. It's quite clear for us that in any new military move, the Zionist regime will definitely fail. They want to attack Lebanon. It's clear what the result will be. For 33 days, they waged the war. I think if this time there is a new move, the response of the Lebanese people will be 10 times more crushing and more serious. Or whatever other country, even if they act against them, they will face the same response. Therefore, we are not concerned. We don't have to help them. The fact that we are, that we exist, this is held for all countries. Iran is a country that has resisted and withstood the hegemonic policies and illegal approaches. This is the greatest contribution to other nations. And at the same time, the people of Lebanon, they are alive, they are vigilant, they are powerful. I think if they make such a mistake, the existence of the Zionist regime will be in peril.
Let's look at Afghanistan. There are recent reports that pointing the finger at Iran and actually supporting the Taliban. Transitioning to Afghanistan. Let's go to Afghanistan.
Okay, let's talk about the transition.
So, there are reports now that Iran is actually supporting the Taliban. I'd like to get your opinion on that and overall with Afghanistan and what is happening right now. Go ahead.
Well, look, I think the main problem with Afghanistan, in Afghanistan is foreign intervention. In 40, 50 years, people of Afghanistan have always been suffering at a time the Soviets went there against the people of Afghanistan. And later on, when Afghans rose up and they pushed them away, then Americans came and they expanded their intervention. And now you see they have a direct military presence. I think the people of Afghanistan are brave and they are able to run their own affairs. They can bring security themselves and they're able to reconstruct their country. They don't need the interference of others. We think that security in Afghanistan is security for all. Insecurity in Afghanistan means insecurity in the whole region. You saw that insecurity in Afghanistan also spread to Pakistan. And it is highly likely, if this goes on, this may even spread even further eastward. We are friends with people of Afghanistan. We are friends with people. It's historical. Now we have 3 million Afghans living in Iran. 3 million people. Just like other Iranians, they are living. Every year, hundreds of people frequent between the two countries. The situation in Afghanistan, we're really concerned about it. The fact that people are getting killed. In the latest trip I had there, the president of Afghanistan said in an interview that they want to let us decide on our own. They pressure us. They want to impose their wills on the Afghan people. They don't let the Afghan government to get well established. We want to bring security ourselves. We are friends with all Afghans. We think that Afghanistan does not have a military solution. Even when one person gets killed in Afghanistan, the resolution of the problem gets more difficult and more sophisticated. Americans, anytime they fail, they make the mistake, you see, but they don't realize this. They make wrong, they make mistakes, and then they blame others. They try to blame others and say they accuse others that they won't let us do this. They have 100,000 soldiers. They've been there for 10 years. How come they haven't been able to bring security? Look at narcotics production. It's multiplied. Insecurity has increased. They said we wanted to capture terrorists. Terrorists have multiplied. Instead of accepting the fact that they are mistaken in their policies, they should be answerable to their own people after all. They need to find a reason what they are doing there in Afghanistan. They said Iran is training the Taliban, they are equipping them with arms, and they say, okay, why didn't you arrest them? Okay, go ahead and capture them. You came to uproot terrorism and arrest them. How many of them did you arrest? Why didn't you tell us? They haven't arrested nobody. That was a lie. They were not there. They didn't go there to fight terrorism. They wanted to occupy Afghanistan, and so that later on they can pressure India and China. It's clear. But they're used to this, you know, when they never say what the goal they are pursuing. They hide it behind nice words. And any time it turns out that they have made a mistake in their policy and failed, they start blaming others. If we want to interfere in Afghanistan, then, you know, it's Iran. Iran is a great country. There are tens of political groups in Afghanistan. They're all friendly toward us. All of them. The political groups in Afghanistan, we have very friendly, cordial interaction with the Afghan government. We want to see the political process complete in Afghanistan as soon as possible. Security in Afghanistan benefits us. We support Hamid Karzai's government. We support election in Afghanistan. And we want to see security and law spread in Afghanistan. It will benefit us. A part of Afghans that live in Iran will go back home. This is the minimum thing that
Iraq, because we're getting almost out of time here. I just want to switch really quick to Iraq itself, because also the same accusations are being made that Iran is involved there, and that also is having an effect. The reason why the government still has not been formed in Iraq. What's your position on Iraq and exactly what's going on?
Well, I think if you look at which vice president in each country has traveled to Iraq 2-3 times and see what comments have been made to the people, officials of Iraq and the people of Iraq. With the people of Iraq, we're friendly. Iranians and Iraqis in the course of history, they have been friends. They have married one another. Millions of Iranians traveled to Iraq for pilgrimage. Iraqis come to Iran. Many of the Iraqis have Iranian birth certificates. Many Iranians have Iraqi birth certificates. See, we are two people who are intertwined. We're very close. Anybody who is killed in Iraq, everybody is sad in Iran. Americans came to occupy Iraq to actually capture the Middle East, and they failed, and they need to be accountable. They say that Iran is interfering. They have 160,000 forces in Iraq and then say Iran is interfering. This is a joke. This is ridiculous. You have taken your troops there. You have a military governor there, and you expressly say that the government must do this, the parliament must do that, the Sunnis must do this, Shia must do that. And you, your ambassador is always active, vice president is active there, the special envoy is very active there. All the Iraqi groups are friends with us. We don't need to interfere. They're all our friends. The one that secures the people's vote, we will support them. We are for establishing government in Iraq. It will benefit us. Insecurity in Iraq endangers our security, not only our security, but the whole regions. Even apart from that, they are friends, they are humans. Well, Americans, anytime they get a stock, they say they find somebody to blame. Maybe the economic problems in the world that they have created is because of Iran's interference. What about the oil well that they couldn't cap? Maybe Iran is responsible for that. Well, this is too bad.
Over. I wonder if you have time for one last question, and that's it. The last question being, all right, we talked about nuclear talks, so on and so forth, perhaps upcoming talks with the Americans, P5 plus one and others, and the group Turkey and Brazil and others, maybe. What exactly are you hoping to achieve? Do you have a new proposal for all of this? And how do you see the end game?
Well, I said that we are not after the nuclear issue. We think the world needs to be run with the help of one another, through friendship, through justice, through respect. Everyone must take part. Nobody should force the other one. We think that cooperation and interaction is better than confrontation. It will benefit all. We think that friendship is better than enmity. We think that we need to have a law for everyone. Everyone must be equal in the face of law. Okay, if they say this is, they should say if they are for this or not, that all people are equal. Do they approve of justice, respect? This is the logic that we want to make them understand. And there are talks, we want to say that with the help of one another, we need to run the affairs of the world. The issues of the problems of the world should be helped with the help of everyone. If there's an economic problem, if 200 world nations help one another, they shouldn't say we can solve problems single-handedly. It's not possible. If insecurity is there in the world, we need to help one another, all of us. If there is political problem, everyone should join hands. These are what we think we can say in one meeting and find a solution in their talks. In Palestine, we have problems now. We think there is a human solution to that. In Iraq, we have problems. I think we have human solutions in Afghanistan, too. The issues in Sudan, we can also come up with some humane solutions. In Yemen, everywhere in the world, Latin America, why should there be 40 years, 50 years of enmity between America and Cuba? If we accept justice and respect, then this enmity and antagonism will turn into friendship. Is friendship better or enmity? We think that in talks, this logic can be pushed forward, and the atmosphere of threat can be turned into the atmosphere of friendship and kindship and cooperation. This is our expectation for talks, of the talks. But now, whatever they want to talk about, there should be shared problems. We need to talk about them. No, we are always after compromise, but on what should we compromise? That's what matters. Regarding our basic rights, it's not negotiable. Can you talk about your independence and about your freedom? Can you come to a compromise on that? But when we talk about nuclear cooperation, it means if you have any concerns, why don't you come forward and cooperate? We have also concerns about you. We have our own preoccupations and worries. Why? They say they have 5,060 plus bombs they have stockpiled. The government that cannot bring under control in oil, well, how can they stockpile all these bombs? We protest this. There are more than 100 military bases all over the world, and in all of them they have stockpiled atomic bombs. The world is in danger. All parts of the world, if one bomb goes off, who will be accountable for that? What about the rest of them? It's the same. We need to protest and complain. We are complaining that for 60 years they have imposed the Zionist regime, and they're killing the Zionist regime in the past 30 years. How many times did they threaten us? In the past 5 years, how many times did they threaten us? Why should they threaten us? They come and say that we will assassinate Ahmadinejad, we will hit this, and they never say anything against it. Just like a spoiled child, they have created this Zionist regime, and they can do whatever they want to do. Well, I'm surprised. An American people, 300 million people, they have sold all of them to a few Zionists. This is too bad. This harms America. They think nobody wants this. The European countries, many of them, have sold themselves to a few Zionists. Why have they done that? 400 million Europeans live there. Why have you sold yourself to a small number of Zionists? They can also live ordinary life like others and have equal rights. Why should they have all the power, all the wealth, all the media at their disposal? Why should it be? Why should they assassinate, kill, destroy people's homes, occupy, and nobody says nothing in protest? Why should it be like that? Give us some reasons. Say for what reason they keep silent. The wave that is being waged in our region against tyranny, if Europeans continue supporting for the Zionist regime, then this wave, where will it be directed at? Nobody can stop this wave. Nobody has started this. They themselves have given rise to it. They're all upset. There is one over there, they make threats, they make invasions, they assassinate, they crush the Zionists. People in Gaza, they kill kids, women, the elderly, and they all stand there and clap for the Zionist regime. This stirs up the whole world, not only the region. And when there's a turmoil, they themselves will be stuck in that. Why do they do that? Let the people of Palestine go after their own life and have their own election and finish that up. Why do you support Israel? You say, you talk about democracy, you talk of human rights, freedom, but when it comes to Zionist regime, everything else is forgotten, everything gets reversed. I think that's what they are claiming. Okay, why didn't they sit down at the negotiating table? They talk, we talk about world issues. They put forward their solution. We will offer our solutions and we'll discuss things, and the whole world can hear us. Anything wrong with that?
One minute. Just 1 minute question. Last question, please. I'm sorry. But Iran is portrayed right now in the media, Western media especially, as a rogue state, as a renegade state, especially under your leadership. This is how it's being portrayed. What can Iran do, or what can you do, to reassure the world that Iran is not a threat to peace or international laws?
They talk in the media, but I announced in China, anywhere in the world they want to pick, anywhere they want, anywhere they wish, without any security guards. We'll go there together, and let's see what people, how they react. I visited a country where there were 7 TV channels. All the TV channels were against Iran, but the people were all supporters of Iran. Now I say the people of America are against the aggressive policy of the U.S. administration. They don't accept that. Why don't they hold an opinion poll? Let's have an opinion poll. Let's have an independent group go to America and hold a referendum. The same can be done in Europe. I'm ready to prove this. In Iran, things are clear. Whatever you hear that I'm saying, I have said the same thing during the election. Exactly the same words. People voted for the same comments. But in their election, they say one thing. In practice, they do something else. People vote for another slogan, but they do something else in practice. Well, that's why if you ask the people, they will say that, no, we wanted that slogan, not this one that they're doing. That's why they are afraid. European officials are paying the Zionist regime, and they never ask people's opinion about that. But when they want to have to milk white or black cows, they hold a referendum in Europe. 8 in the morning, should they milk the cows, or 6 in the morning? Let's have a referendum. But there will never be any referendum whether to pay and make monetary contributions to Israelis to kill Palestinians. Why don't they have a referendum on that? Or in the election, why don't they express and say, okay, part of this taxpayer money will be spent to them to kill people? Will anybody vote for that? Nobody will. To crush this propaganda, we'll be doing the same thing that we have done, like now that we're talking to you.